This is The Spec, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. And welcome back, everybody, to The Spec. It is great to be back. I know it was on last week, and I know it was the first time in 8 months, but man, it's good to be back. It's been a while. Everybody, I have a super special guest with me today on The Spec. Needs no introduction, honestly. Maybe a little introduction. Kelly Kimbis. Kelly, how you doing today?
Hi, Sam. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on the air for the first time.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. You know, this building, that for those that don't know, The Spec WMFO is in Curtis Hall next to Tufts University. And a lot of things are going on in Curtis Hall. Tons and tons of stuff, including just on the floor below us, a lovely little club organization called Tufts University Television, TUTV, and Kelly is the co-president, co-station manager, this year for TUTV. And Kelly and I met through that, but also through the Film and Media Studies Department at Tufts, and we're going to talk a lot about film and filmmaking today, and it's going to be a great old time. So Kelly, would you like to tell me a little bit about how you got started in film in general, why you're interested in it? What is the origin story to it?
Yeah, so the origin story I like to give professional people that ask me is, like, I took a film class in high school to get away from all of the, like, AP stress type of thing.
Yeah.
And I just really connected with it, and it was so great. And it really brought me like into this new world of filmmaking that I just didn't even realize I was interested in before. But the true story is that when I was much younger, my sister and I made a ton of like iMovies. So we made like recreation of BBC Sherlock, like with our stuffed animals.
Oh man.
We made like whole narratives. Yeah, that was really the intro into filmmaking. That's the real deal.
So it's funny because for me, I would like have my action figures, have my Legos, but I wouldn't even have thought to like put it on a screen or do anything with it. So that was very, very forward thinking of you, you could say.
I guess.
But that's great. And obviously that passion carried into your like academics and everything going on here at Tufts. And like, what would you say for film now? What draws you the most to it now as like a more grown up person? What aspects of it are the most interesting to you, you would say? I know that's kind of a big, big, daunting question, but just like
anything you could think of. No worries. Yeah, I think the aspect that I'm most drawn to at this point in time is writing, which is hard because one of the hardest professions within the industry to get into, and one of the least clear paths into making it, as they say, as a screenwriter. Very, very difficult, but always something that ever since I started doing screenwriting and taking screenwriting classes, I felt like I've really connected with personally and felt like it's really the place where like my creativity comes out the most. I've also kind of experienced that with some more cinematography type stuff, more directing type stuff, but writing is the thing that I feel like hits closest to home and like something that I feel the most passionate about. But I do really love so many aspects of filmmaking, and I would just be so like excited to be involved in any of them.
That's awesome. Yeah, and we can get more into it in just a moment, but like all the guests on the spec, Kelly brought on some music for us today to go through, and we're gonna always love listening to new music on the show. I play a lot of the same songs. It gets boring. But anyway, that's why I have the guests. So the first song we're going to go with is Too Much of a Good Thing by Nicki, right? So why'd you bring this song on?
Yeah, so this is like a song that has really stuck with me like the past 6 months or so. This was an artist that had a song blow up on TikTok. So someone that I might have been a little bit hesitant about at first, but I think this came up in like my Spotify curated playlist. And I just like really liked the style it had. I don't know a lot about music genres, but it feels like something that kind of crosses between genres maybe a little. So yeah, it's just like, I haven't gotten tired of it yet. So that's why I picked it.
All right, well, let's get into it. This is Too Much of a Good Thing by Nicki. Here we go.
Something tells me this is
That was Too Much of a Good Thing by Nikki. I see what you mean. Kind of bouncy sound, fun song. I'm with it. It's a good time. It's a good, very good time.
Yeah.
So going off of this film tangent that we had at the beginning, you want to talk a little bit more about, so we're both studying film and media studies at Tufts. You actually were a TA for a class I took last fall, FMS 10, the like basic production class for the film and media studies department.
Yes.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that experience? What it was like, not just to like, you know, make film, but also teach other people about it.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I mean, it was a really great experience. I worked with another FMS senior, Lila Hirsch, and we had a great time, honestly, kind of structuring these different activities for like surrounding introductory filmmaking skills. And it was a role that I've never really had anything like before. I've never really taught anyone anything, especially film related. But it was like a really cool and different way to kind of like interact with the medium. And I feel like I learn a lot through teaching too, which is probably something most people that teach say. But I just feel like it offered like a new perspective on how these different filmmaking skills work, especially when you're just starting out with
gotcha. How'd I do?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone in your class did great. And
yeah.
Now that I like am in more classes with them, like as a peer,
yeah,
I'm like, maybe some of this is my doing. I don't know.
That's awesome. Yeah, I had a great time in that class. It was fun. I mean, you know, just refining those skills that are important for us film and media majors. But also I'm sure that like teaching aspect and like imparting your wisdom on other people about film also bleeds into what you do at TUTV. And we can talk a lot about this over the next hour. But you've been with TUTV since your first year at Tufts,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So what is that like now being the head honcho of the club, going from like the very beginning to now the head of the club? What is that like transition? What has that evolution been like for you? How's it different now than it was 4 years ago, 3 years ago?
Yeah, it is so different. I mean, I came into the club like fresh off of COVID and it was great. I think the part of TUTV that I loved the most, besides being able to practice filmmaking skills and like practice writing skills and writing shorts especially, was honestly the community aspect. After my freshman year, I was involved in the executive board, and like everyone I met there is just the sweetest, funniest group of people with just such great chemistry and such a willingness to like listen to everyone's ideas and like really make everyone feel included. No matter how much film production experience you have, I just feel like it's really like a safe space for like filmmakers and something that's like kind of outside this academic structure where you're graded. Like this is just a place where you can be creative. And then coming like to be quote unquote leader of the club, and I can't say that without mentioning my co-president Ari, who is just like also a fabulous leader, created
also has a show on WMFO, right? Love on Air.
Yes, Love on Air. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, but she created her whole entire like JNL Jumbo Night Live. That's her own creation that has grown so much in just like 2 years. So it's really interesting to see how the club has evolved and coming into it now as like a leadership position and taking it more in the direction of broadcast TV, which is kind of where we're trying to lean into more now. That's been a really interesting change, and just seeing how we've updated our studio, we've started doing these full-length broadcasts, and like seeing how many people are interested in being involved in that. And I just love that the club is able to like engage with all these different kinds of media production that's like not just short film.
Yeah, and that's super important for like such a huge campus with people that have, I'm sure, such widely varying interests. I mean, you and me alone, we have different interests within film, within media. So like having a club that can encompass all these different interests is super, super cool. Do you want to talk a little bit more about, you know, that transition to broadcast TV, like how maybe for those listening out there that don't know about how TUTV got started,
yes,
what you're trying to bring back to it that, yes, was there before.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like I'm about to give the TUTV spiel.
Do it.
But so TUTV is like one of the oldest clubs on Tufts campus. It was started in 1977. And it was back in the day. Tufts used to have cable television and have like a TV in every single dorm room.
Yeah.
And TUTV actually had like a broadcast channel like on that network. So everyone at Tufts that was like in Tufts housing had 24/7 access to TUTV quality entertainment, right? But then as that was phased out, and then as the FMS department came into being, all of a sudden there was like a little bit of competition, you know?
Yeah.
And so, not that we've been like ousted by FMS or anything like that. Like, it's so great to have more film and media students, and that just means like more members and more projects on our end. But we kind of wanted to be able to offer something a little bit different, something a little bit outside the department for people that are interested in that, because television, broadcast television, is not really something that's covered in the FMS curriculum or department at all. So yeah, in the past couple of years, we reset up our broadcast studio. We have like two working really nice quality broadcast cameras. We have a green screen. We have a control room. And we have these old pictures from like back in the 80s and 90s from TUTV. And those setups are still the same ones we have today, but with like updated equipment. So it's really interesting like how that has kind of come full circle. But it's very exciting.
That's amazing. And yeah, you got to catch these broadcasts if you haven't in the past. They are hilarious. They're super fun. They're super well thought out as well. It's super cool to see. Well, I mean, I go to the meetings too, just sometimes. So seeing the process of it coming together, but then seeing the end product, it's always cool to see stuff like that. So super cool stuff. We can talk more about TUTV, maybe some more of the specific projects that you've been involved with in the next leg here. Oh yes. Okay, next song is going to be, okay, I'm gonna butcher this, The Perfect Pair by Biba Doobie.
Yeah.
Okay,
got it.
Let's go. Why this song?
Yeah, so this song is from an album that I listened to prolifically during my study abroad experience last semester. Really not a, it didn't get me through the semester because it was a great time, but it was kind of like the soundtrack of that experience, so I felt I had to include something from it.
All right, we're gonna relive Kelly's study abroad experience right now. It's Woo-hoo. The Perfect Pair by Biba Doobie. Let's do it.
Changed, and I'm not sure. You say you got a girl. How you want me? How you want me when you got a girl? The feeling is reckless of knowing it's selfish. Knowing I'm desperate, getting on in and love, falling all over love. I do it till it's last. Hanging out the back, all of me.
All right, everybody, that was The Perfect Pair by Biba Doobie, and then I snuck in a song of mine, The Weeknd by SZA and Calvin Harris. But guess what? It's almost halfway through the show, and it's everybody's favorite time of the show. Say it with me out there if you know what I'm talking about. It's PSA time. That's right, the time of the show for the new listeners out there, where me or the guest reads a little advertisement out to the rest of the airwaves out there. So Kelly, reading from that big PSA book, what do you have for us today?
Okay, I have a PSA from Food Not Bombs. Food Not Bombs is a loose-knit group of independent collectives serving free vegan and vegetarian food to others. Food Not Bombs recovers and shares free vegan or vegetarian food with the public without restriction in over 1,000 cities around the world to protest war, poverty, and the destruction of the environment. Each group is independent and invites everyone to participate in making decisions for their local chapter using the consensus process. Food Not Bombs is dedicated to taking nonviolent direct action to change society so no one is forced to stand in line to eat at a soup kitchen, expressing a commitment to the fact that food is a right and not a privilege. For more information, visit foodnotbombs.net.
All right. Very cool. Very, very good. Good to know.
Yeah.
Important. So that's the PSA, everybody. Hope you enjoyed. Now we're gonna get into some fun stuff here. I think Kelly knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
So, TUTV, you know, one of the big things TUTV does is make short films, make movies, obviously. And let's just say I've been involved in my fair share of classics, cult classics, you could say. But I think we're going to start with one in particular, and it involves an event called Horror Fest, which is actually coming up pretty soon. It's in October. Squab.
Oh, yeah.
Squab. Please tell everyone, what is Squab?
So Squab is what you might call it's a legacy here at TUTV. It did start my freshman year as a project for Horrorfest. And let me just preface this by saying that Horrorfest is a short festival during the Halloween season that TUTV puts on for its members to make short horror films. However, yeah. A lot of those films tend to verge into the comedic territory, which is really fun for someone who enjoys writing comedy, such yeah. as myself. So Squab was formed, again, like I said, my freshman year, and it revolves around a young college student who is convinced that he's a pigeon okay. and the disastrous consequences that that invokes upon his life. And what started off is a silly little horror fest idea has turned into a 3-film series.
It is a franchise
now. It is a franchise. It has the original Squab, Squab 2 Foul Play, and Squab 2.5 Catception. And you might be thinking, why 2.5 and not 3? And that's because the star of this franchise, Peter Wolf,
was gone.
He was gone. He was away in Madrid for the entire year. So we had to take a detour and focus on another character from the Squab franchise, which is played by your very good friend David
Palomar. Palomar, if you know this show, you've heard him plenty. He'll be on again soon, but he actually won an award for his role in the Squab franchise.
That's amazing. I think I was abroad when that happened.
Really? It was like a golden bow.
He won
one of the highest, most prestigious honors in TUTV for his role. Anyway.
Yeah, it was a real commitment. Him and Peter have done an amazing job
yeah.
in their roles, and we're hoping to culminate the entire franchise this year with Squab 3, and Sam has already signed on his support, so I'm really, really hoping that it actually does happen this year.
I'm doing my Robert Downey Jr. moment where I'm announcing to the world that I am joining the Squab franchise. It's been a long time coming. I would like to thank my friends and my family. It's gonna be great. And it's the end of it, right?
Or yeah, it is.
Pretty much. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and you know, I can't say any spoilers, but you can expect a climactic ending.
There might be tears. There might be tears. Anyways, but like, you got to see this. It's on YouTube. The first couple are on YouTube, right?
I believe all three of them are YouTube on the Tufts University Television YouTube channel, which is exactly how it's called. If you look up Tufts University Television on YouTube, it will be the first thing that comes up.
Yeah, subscribe to that if you're not already. You'll also see some cameos. I'm in I was in a music video called Psycho Killer.
Oh,
I was in
right.
Cult Pizza, a couple of the Cult Pizzas. Pizza. So anyways, this all sounds like gibberish if you don't know what I'm talking about, but if you go on there and you watch all of it, you'll come out the other side feeling like a much more enlightened person. I'll say that. So Squab, obviously a huge thing. Do you want to talk a little bit about maybe some of the other projects that you've worked on with TUTV in terms of short films in particular? Maybe have you done what else have you been doing with them in that vein specifically?
Yeah, I honestly don't have a ton in the short film category, but I did do a project also starring Peter, really a prolific name and face in the TUTV world, so just know that.
You're like the Scorsese and De Niro of TUTV.
yeah, that's very apt. I don't think we're doing it anymore, but we had like a short script writing competition around the theme of Valentine's Day a couple years ago. And I wrote a short called Love at First Sight, which was about Cupid and one of Cupid's, modern day Cupid and one of his associates, and how they are tasked with making matches on a modern college campus such as Tufts. And it was sort of like a comedy office style sitcom thing. But I think it turned out pretty good.
Awesome.
And yeah, that's like the main other short film thing I've been involved in. I've been involved in a lot of other people's short films, just like crewing, helping out members, you know, being on eBoard. They ask you to help with other members' projects. So that's been fun, too.
And I am curious because you mentioned right at the top of the show how interested you are in writing and the whole like writing process of putting together films in the pre-production phase. What was that like, you know, in this I don't know. Do you have it? First of all, do you have experience working over like a longer feature length style?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe talk a little bit about that, and then we can loop it back to what you're doing at TUTV.
No, I would love to talk about that. I took both Screenwriting 1 and Screenwriting 2.
Yeah.
Both those classes taught by Professor Kari Jones, and those are great, amazing classes for anyone interested in screenwriting. And in Screenwriting 2, I wrote the first third of a feature. And over the summer, I was like, will I finish this? That's the big question. But then fate happened upon me and I got COVID.
Oh, no.
And then I thought, this is the perfect time to finish my screenplay. So I did finish it. And it's like 120 pages.
That's huge.
Yeah, it was quite an achievement, if I do say so myself. It's not a masterpiece, but it was really fun.
It's a lot of writing. Damn.
Yeah.
All right, congratulations on that. Let me see. And so you know, relating that longer form back to kind of working in this truncated version of things with, you know, the short film squab, et cetera, what is the best part for you about the writing process? Is it, you know, first generating those ideas? Is it editing it, putting it all together and like refining it? Like what if we're talking about writing specifically, what is the most enjoyable part of the process?
That's so hard. Of the whole process.
It doesn't have to be one.
Well, yeah, there's definitely multiple. I think like the original idea when it comes to me is always great, because there's this idea of like, I'm envisioning this story or this character or this plot and I see where it could go. And then there's the act of actually developing out the story, writing the characters, getting down these really intricate character wants and needs that seem so easy from an outside perspective, but when you actually attempt to do them is quite difficult, honestly. So I would say like the original manifestation of the idea is really great. I always have a lot of story ideas, not all of which get actually made into anything. But the actual process of writing, like just working on the script, is really fun too. I think a lot of screenwriters say that they enjoy writing dialogue, and that's not necessarily like a foundational skill for crafting a story, but is something that's really, really fun, because you feel like you can get characters in a room in a sense and just kind of have them talk at each other, and that's like just something that's really entertaining and you can kind of just keep going on with for hours.
That's so cool. Yeah, and like building out a character too is something that I find personally super interesting. And like even just seeing like how, like even just like seeing how Peter's character has evolved in Squab over the past couple of years is super cool. And you see how like you build on traits that you started with in the first film, and then like building out a whole universe. Like that in itself is such a cool, huge accomplishment that you guys did. Very cool stuff.
Yeah.
Let's get into some more music, shall we? This one is Last Time We Never Meet Again by Sarah Kinsley.
Yes.
What's the deal with this one?
So Sarah Kinsley is one of my favorite artists. She's a very small artist that also had a song blow up on TikTok, but I was a fan before that. Let me just state for the record. But this is off her new album, Escaper, and my sister's coming to visit in a couple weeks, and we're going to go see her tour. So I'm very excited about that. I'm hoping to hear this song live.
A little preview of that concert. Last Time We Never Meet Again by Sarah Kinsley. Here we go, guys.
So this is it. Our lives were only a blimp of some good thing then, and whatever it is now, holding on to something you don't really want. Is it me? Is it you?
Understand, we can never speak again. sky is pink and white, if the ground is black and yellow, it's the same way you showed me. Nod my head, don't close my eyes, halfway on a slow move, it's the same way you showed me. If you could fly, then you'd feel south, up north's getting cold soon. But where it is, we're on land, so I'm someone to hold true. Keep you cool when it's still alive, won't let you down when it's all ruined. Just the same way you showed me, showed me. You showed me love, glory from above, regardless, dear. It's all downhill from here. In the wake of a hurricane, dark skin of a summer shade, nose dive in the flood lines, tall tower, milk crate. It's the same way you showed me. Cannonball off the porch side, older kids trying off the roof. Just the same way you showed me, you showed. If you could die and come back to life, up for air from the swimming pool, you'd kneel down to the dry land, kiss the earth that birthed you. Gave you tools just to stay alive and make it up when the sun is ruined. That's the same way you showed me, showed. You showed me love, glory from above, regardless, dear. It's all downhill from here.
Man, that's an absolute classic. That was Pink and White by Frank Ocean. But before that was Last Time We Never Meet Again by Sarah Kinsley, who you're seeing live pretty soon. So it's time to talk about abroad. It's time to talk about both of us went overseas last spring. If you didn't know already, I talk about it so much. But I'd love to hear about your experience in Prague, which I didn't even get to go to. So I can't wait to hear about what Prague is like, first of all, but what you were doing there. So just like go for it. Let's hear it.
Oh, Prague. Prague is like a fairy tale city that came straight out of the 1400s and has been updated with some trams and new technologies alike to that. But otherwise seems like it could exist in any time period, so that is super cool. I really, really loved it. I loved being there. I was so nervous to go, but it was just a great time. And I have to say that one of my housemates and friends, Layla Mandel, was also in Prague. We were not in the same program. We were actually in two separate film production programs in Prague. Cool. But we got to be there together, so that was really cool.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And so, like, tell me about, like, I don't know. Did you have like a routine there? Like what was your, like maybe just getting into like, did you have like a favorite coffee shop? Did you, what were some things that like, when you think of Prague, you immediately go to in your mind, your experience there?
Yeah, it's really hard, honestly, to not think of the big touristy things because the school that I went to, the Academy of the Film and Television Performing Arts, and I don't actually know the full name, but it's located like really close to Old Town Prague, which is where all the like super old historical stuff, like the clock and the bridge and like the big things people think of when they think of Prague, they're all there. They're like right next to my school, so it's hard not to think of those. But I actually had the privilege of living in this really nice neighborhood where the program I was doing, they owned like an entire apartment building. So I got to stay like with everyone else in my program on like three floors of this apartment building, just with like this amazing view of the city and this quiet neighborhood with like no screaming, not screaming, like no disturbances, just like a beautiful like park outside and like pastel colored buildings. It was just a very surreal experience.
Yeah. I had that similar feeling in Italy too. It's just there's really nothing like being living in these like picturesque towns in Europe. It's amazing. So talk a little bit about that experience of going to the school with the very long name that we don't even really know what it's actually called. How did that experience academically compare to your time like with FMS?
Yeah, it was really interesting because the school is a very international school. So like my program was structured sort of like everyone in my group had the same set of like core classes based around film production that would all take place at this school, but we weren't actually in class with any of the students like normally attending the school.
Yeah.
But we were able to enroll in these elective classes that were open to anyone attending the school. So that would be really cool because we would come into class and just there would be students from all over the world, like including students from the Czech Republic, but like it's a really international group. So it was kind of nice to get like a taste of both of those types of learning environments. But I would say like academically, it's not exactly the same structure as Tufts or another US university. There's not as much emphasis on like homework, busy work, like a ton of assignments. It's more about like teaching foundational skills and like theories. So looking back at like old media, like historical film techniques and a lot of international film too, which is really cool. And then we had some practice courses where we'd be lectured on the specifics of different filmmaking techniques. So that was really interesting. Something a little more similar to what FMS offers, but it was, again, like a nice mix of everything.
And did you take like Czech while you were there or was that totally...
Yeah. So I had to take a 2-week intensive Czech course that was 6 hours a day of just learning Czech. And the result of that was me being able to say, I am Kelly. I am from America. I study film. So
can you do it on the spot?
Okay. Ja jsem Kelly. Ja jsem Američanka. Studiu film na FAMU.
Okay, cool. I didn't want to put you on the spot but I want to test your knowledge. Yes. Yeah. That's super cool. Yeah, it's interesting. And were those classes like really big compared to the Tufts classes? Like what was the makeup of the classes? How was that different?
Yeah, well, for the classes that were specifically for people in my program, there were only 18 of us and only 15 of us were in film production. So we basically had all of our classes together. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool because we can kind of come and go like at the same times. And like it really created a nice community there. The elective classes were on the bigger side, similar to like more like a Tufts film theory class, so more like 20 or 30 people. But I didn't have a class that was like... The nice thing about the FMS program here at Tufts is that we have, as you get further into the program, we have classes that are fewer and fewer people, so you really get more of a personal experience with the material and with the professor. So classes that are more like 5 or 6 people. But my classes in Prague didn't have that just because it was including everyone in my program, which was still small, but not quite that small.
Gotcha. Well, I know we just got like a tiny little snapshot of your abroad experience, but it's super cool to hear about that. Glad you got to do that. It's just super cool that we all got to go over there and then come back and see how life is different. So super cool. Thanks for sharing all of that. So actually, I think I'm going to save your last song for the very end of the show. So I'm going to play one of mine, then we'll get back into things and we'll wrap this thing up. All right.
It's all right to feel so good around somebody. It's all right to feel it might not always last. Would you like to? I would love to. And as a matter of fact, I'm very glad you asked. Maybe we're just a little sweet. Holding up the drive through all the love.
If It All Goes South by Sammy Ray and the Friends. What an amazing song. Anyway, besides the point. Okay, rapid fire. Ready, Kelly? Ready?
Yep.
Favorite movie of all time. Go.
Ocean's 11.
Why?
Okay, so my dad showed me a lot of movies growing up. Shout out, Dad. Yay.
Yeah.
Ocean's 11 was like one of the first movies I watched where I was like, I am having a transformative experience with this, and I want to watch it like again and again. And I notice something different every time. I think it's incredibly well written, well cast, well acted, obviously. And
it's a great movie.
Has an amazing use of Clair de Lune. I think the best use of Clair de Lune of all time in any film. And I have seen a good amount of films that use it. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Just want to like take the temperature here because I'm always curious for particularly FMS people what that answer is. I feel like it changes every day for me. Anyway, yeah. So we're getting towards the end of the show here. Thanks everybody for listening as always. Kelly, I want to ask, you know, is there like a big project, something you're looking forward to tackling the rest of this senior year? Just looking ahead in general.
Yeah, I have something exciting in the works. I am doing a thesis project. It will be a short film, and there's a couple other people in the FMS department doing short film thesis projects as well. And there's two people doing a documentary and one doing a screenplay, and we're all in a class together hearing each other's projects and working on our projects. So yeah, I'm really excited about that. It will shoot early spring semester and be ready to be shown at, like, they have a big FMS screening at the end of the year, like,
yeah,
with everyone's films, like, from all the different classes, so it'll be ready for that.
Oh, I'm super excited to see it. So can you reveal, like, any other details? Or, well,
oh, yeah,
it's in the works, right?
Yeah. I'm almost finished with the script. It is a crime drama about a young woman who works for her father's crime ring. She's, like, their hit woman. And so things kind of start to go awry when she gets her next assignment, and it sort of puts her in like a moral quandary for the first time.
Ooh, okay. All right. Well, keep an eye out for that, everybody. I'll definitely be at that screening at the end of the year. If any other Tufts people are listening out there, you should too. All right. I think that is pretty much all we have time for. So as always, this is The Spec, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Kelly, thank you so much for coming on today. This was just so fun. I love talking about film. I love talking with you about everything. It was a great way to kick off this next string of guests this semester. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so fun. I love talking about this with you too. Yeah. And yeah, such a cool new experience.
Yeah, of course. Do you want to talk before we head out? We got one more song that you brought on. It's Take It Easy by the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I picked this out. I know my mom is listening, and this is one of her favorite songs because it has one of her favorite lyrics of all time in it. And it's a very road trippy song. Listened to it on the moving into Tufts this year, and it stuck with me this past month, so I had to bring it on.
Amazing, amazing. So thank you so much again, everybody, for listening. Next week, I'll be back with another guest, and guess what? I think you know this guy. His name's Sammy Minch. We're going to be talking about that huge album project that I mentioned briefly last week. More on that next week, but just thank you so much again, Kelly, for coming on. This is Take It Easy by the Eagles. Have a great week, everybody.
The sound of your